hopes it come to be. And people gather around, they have all they can bring. I know about it when they act, I'll learn a song to sing. The revolution starts now.
Good afternoon and welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio, because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. That makes a powerful difference in bringing you the news, and I hope that you'll stay tuned to find out about all the amazing event announcements that we have coming up for you. I actually have a really busy show today. We have a recorded interview with Dr. Karen Davis for a few minutes, and then Andrea Miller is here, and we're going to be talking about honoring civil rights leaders, past, present, and future. And Tam Evans is here, and we're going to be talking about the spring equinox. So we're going to have a great show today, but first of all, I want to remind you of some things that are happening. This Saturday, there will be a rally at noon at Lafayette Square, followed by a march on the White House for peace. This is in recognition of the invasion of Iraq in 2003. This annual event is sponsored by Veterans for Peace. It is a peaceful protest against the continuing wars. Speakers will include Ralph Nader, Chris Hedges, Anne Wright, and many others. If you'd like to find out more about this event, stopthesewars.com, or you can send them an email, stopthesewars@gmail.com. I also want to remind everybody that the the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality's Office of Environmental Impact Review is still accepting comments regarding environmental concerns associated with Virginia Dominion Power's application to build a third nuclear reactor at Lake Anna, which is about 40 miles from Richmond as the crow flies. These comments will be accepted until March the 18th, and you can send an email to elirons@deq.virginia.gov. That's elirons@deq.virginia.gov. There will be posted on our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, all of this information, so not to worry if you can't write it down right now. And if you'd like to find out more about this these reactors and Dominion Virginia's application to build a third one at North Anna, you can contact Elena Day at 434-296-2494. We're going to have a whole show next week on the nuclear madness, I'll call it, and so you want to be sure and tune in for that show next week. The public has one more month to comment on proposed changes in Virginia to hunting and trapping regulations, including the creation of a license to hunt bears. The Board of Game and Inland Fisheries is proposing to establish a special license to hunt bears. And so if you would like to let your voice be heard, there will be a hearing right here in Richmond on March 23rd from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. at 4010 West Broad Street for the purpose of accepting public input regarding the idea of beginning to hunt bears in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I just have never been bothered by a bear. I just don't know why in the world we would want to do that. But the public has an opportunity to have their voices heard on March the 23rd, and we'll be telling you more about that next week as well. I would like now to jump to our interview with Dr. Karen Davis. If you are a regular listener to Indie Media Live, you know about Virginia's Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541, and you know that these bills would legalize taking farmed animals to a point of emaciation and dehydration, depriving them of food and water to an abnormal state. And that bill is on the governor's desk. You can let the governor know how you feel about this, 786-2211, or you can send him a note, Patrick Henry Building, 3rd floor, 1111 East Broad Street, right here in Richmond, 23219. And right now, what we're going to do is play that few minutes of an interview with Dr. Karen Davis, who is the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns, a refuge and sanctuary for farmed poultry down in Machapango, Virginia. And then when we come back, we will have our conversations with Andrea Miller and Tam Evans. Founder and president of United Poultry Concerns, thank you for being on the show again today.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm delighted to be on your show.
It's great to have you back. Karen, regular listeners to Indie Media Live are aware of Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541, which, if signed into law by the governor, will legalize cruelty to farm animals on a level that we have not seen before in Virginia. The bill states that owners would be allowed to allow these animals to get to a point of emaciation and dehydration. I'm wondering if you could bring our listeners up to date on where these bills stand at this time.
Yes, Rebecca. Well, we all learned about these bills rather late. They were quietly introduced into the Virginia General Assembly that basically farmers and farm animal corporations would be relieved of all responsibility to their animals, to their chickens, horses, cows, pigs, all animals designated as farm animals, and that they could allow these animals to go without food and water to the point of emaciation and dehydration. They would not be required to provide veterinary care and relegate farmed animals to cruelty and neglect. To pass these bills into law in Virginia would be a totally backward, regressive action that would be an insult to the people of Virginia. And we're hoping that the governor, Governor McDonnell, is a sufficiently humane lawmaker that he will not impose this cruelty on farm animals in the state.
I just want to be clear that when I first heard about these bills, I was shocked because, as I understood it, Virginia's farmed animals already had very little protection under the law.
Exactly. They have very little protection, virtually none under the law. You know, they had to be fed and watered to acceptable levels and so on. And basically, the laws, which isn't very, very much, you know. But farm animals generally are completely outside the law and any real compassionate or humane oversight in all states. That's the sad plight of animals with the misfortune of being considered farm animals, whether they be chickens, cows, pigs, horses, turkeys, ducks, or whatever. So what these two bills, if they are codified into law in Virginia, will do, will simply make it legal to do to these animals what basically is done anyway, only it'll be even harder to fight what is done to them and how badly they're treated. And I'll just mention very quickly a situation that United Poultry Concerns has been involved in is the situation at a farm called Black Eagle Farm in Nelson County, Virginia, where an attorney in Virginia discovered that animals on this farm, including thousands of chickens, 25,000 were there at the time of the discovery, were not being fed and that they were being allowed to starve in the chicken houses And the farm animal manager was not feeding these birds. All the other animals were emaciated and sick and everything else too, including Great Pyrenees dogs. So it was just an abysmal situation. But we did a Freedom of Information Act request and got all of these email correspondences going back and forth amongst the Virginia State veterinarians in December of 2009. And basically, they finally did bring out in a load of corn, but they allow these birds essentially to just be kept there and then go off to a slaughter plant in North Carolina. A similar thing happened right around the same time. The Humane Society of the United States did an expose of horrific treatment of pigs at the Smithfield plant in Waverly, Virginia, in Sussex County, where they discovered just atrocious treatment of pigs. There have also been discoveries of horrible treatment of turkeys at another poultry plant, Wilmar Poultry. So what we see is that the Virginia legislature are seeing that these types of behaviors and cruelties amongst farm animal corporations are starting to be more widely publicized. They also see that efforts are being made in some other states, such as California and now in Washington State and Arizona, to try to at least do something legislatively to protect farmed animals from the worst, most horrible abuses and forms of neglect, of which starvation and not providing veterinary care and not feeding them, you know, not giving them water and so forth, and just basically just treating them in the worst way imaginable. That Virginia wants to be one of the states that that kind of upstages and prevents any type of animal welfare legislation being proposed.
Well, I would tell our listeners that Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541 are on the governor's desk now, and if our listeners would like to have a voice in this decision, you can get in touch with the governor at 786-2211, or you can also send him a quick note, Patrick Henry Building, 3rd floor, 1111 East Broad Street, right here in Richmond. If you are driving and can't write all this down, but you'd like to have your opinion weigh in on this issue, we will have this information posted at our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, shortly after the show is over today. And if you would like to find out more about United Poultry Concerns, upc-online.org. Karen, thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for helping us understand the ramifications of Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541.
Thank you, Rebecca. I'm so glad to be able to speak up for these animals.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Karen Davis, founder and president of United Poultry Concerns.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay, we're back now, and I hope that you found that educational. You're listening to WRIR-LP 97.3 FM in Richmond, Virginia. This is Indie Media Live, and I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris. I'm turning now to two guests that I have here in the studio with me. Andrea Miller is the is part of the National Field Team for Progressive Democrats of America, PDAVA.org. Andrea, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
I think we have a couple of important events coming up that we wanted to share with our listeners. One is going to happen this afternoon.
That's right. At 5:30 this evening in Monroe Park, there will be a Defend the Dream rally. This is a Wisconsin solidarity rally where we're going to be talking about defending worker rights, collective bargaining, because as everybody knows, there are just so many attacks right now on the working class, on women, and on the poor.
And I think that on the 26th, you had a big event here as well. A lot of people turned out here in Richmond.
We had 500 people in Richmond on the 26th, and there were another 200 people in Williamsburg. So that meant Central Virginia had 700 people in the street.
What are some of the ramifications of what you see happening across America with the in the labor movement?
Well, basically, it's really, really interesting where you have to ask yourself the question, why are they trying to dismantle labor unions and collective bargaining and workers' rights, along with women's rights, along with the entire social safety network? And it basically comes down to greed. It's all for the rich. It's me, 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 and not us.
I never, ever thought I would see the day when teachers would be vilified as getting paid too much.
Teachers and firefighters and the law enforcement, they've been included in this too. Now, the budget is still going on, the budget fight. So tomorrow, we're going to be in D.C. at the Senate telling them, don't cut Social Security and Medicare. If you want to balance the budget, we'll make it easy for you. Get rid of the tax breaks for the rich. Get rid of the big oil subsidies. And stop the war. How hard can this be? Three items, not 2,300, that affect regular people. Now, also, on Thursday, Congressman Kucinich in the House is going to be putting forth a bill to end the Afghanistan war. Not wind it down, just it's over. At which point, so are most of America's monetary problems. So we really need to address what is the real cause of the problem.
And if people would like to find out more about Dennis Kucinich's bill or more about the lobbying effort that you're going to be making tomorrow or what's happening tonight, how would they plug in to this whole movement?
The PDA field site's an excellent place to go, onenationpda.org, and that's one O-N-E, nation, PDA.org.
onenationpda.org has all of that information on it.
Yes, yes.
Now, we're moving on to something that's happening next week.
This is also in Norfolk.
And this is also sponsored by Progressive Democrats of America in conjunction with MoveOn.org.
Well, this is actually going to be our event. Move On is joining us in the event tonight.
This is
going to be our event. So what we're doing is we're going to have a celebration, and then it's also going to be a call to action. We're going to be honoring the civil rights and social justice champions of the past, the present, and the future. So we're going to be talking about what this country really needs, ending wars and getting jobs. So John Conyers is going to join us at Norfolk State, a very relevant civil rights place in Virginia. And we're going to be talking about what we can do to basically really start solving our problems. So yes, and the wars, and also people here need jobs. We need jobs so that we have the ability to live. We have to protect education. We're bringing in activists who have worked in all those areas throughout the years, and we're honoring our legislators who sponsor the laws, and we're honoring the regular everyday people who have worked so hard to bring that relevance right into their community.
Now tell us again the where, the when.
Norfolk State University, Saturday night, starting at 6:30 p.m., and you can find information about where you can get your tickets. I'm going to put up a big banner on One Nation PDA. So tickets are available on ActBlue.
And it's not this Saturday, it's next
Saturday. It's the 26th. It's the 26th at Norfolk State.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for taking time to come in.
Thank you, Rebecca, as always.
And help educate our listeners on that. Andrea Miller, the national field team leader for Progressive Democrats of America, onenationpda.org. And now we're going to kind of shift our energies. Tam Talking Forest Evans is here with us. She is, let me find my, yeah. She is a priestess and shaman, and she is the high priestess of Richmond Out of the Broom Closet, which is a meetup.com group. And regular listeners to Indie Media Live will remember that Tam was here with us celebrating Yule, the winter solstice. And Tam, how time has flown.
Oh, goes by so quickly on our wheel, doesn't it?
It does. And Sunday, we are going to celebrate the spring equinox.
Correct.
Could you help our listeners understand what an equinox is as opposed to a solstice?
You caught me there.
No, no. The equinox is when the day and the light, the night and the day are equal. And then the solstices have the longest night and the longest day.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, and this one coming up is called Ostara.
Correct.
And can you tell our listeners a little bit about that from the pagan point of view?
Yeah. Let me give you some definitions first. Sorry. The Ostara means east, which is, of course, the sun comes from the east. It talks about the sunrise and the shining. That's the meaning of Ostara. Ostara also comes from the goddess, and let me make sure I've got her name correct. Istra. No, that's correct. I'm sorry. My tongue doesn't work very well sometimes. And she is from the Dramatic, but then she's not very well known. She is about fertility. She is about the beginnings, the new sun, bringing, letting go of the winter and coming into the light. And we talked about this last time, whether the sun meaning the rebirth of the sun, whether it means the S-O-N or the S-U-N. I like saying that because then that doesn't leave anybody out. And that's what I'm all about. Let's not leave anybody out. There's three specific groups, the Anglo-Saxons, the Norse, and the Dramatic, and they all have basically the same idea of that particular goddess. They have different pronunciations of her name and a little difference, but not very much. The themes of Ostara are on death and rebirth, of course, the great marriage, and cleansing. That's where you get cleaning your house in the springtime. Gets rid of all that dust from, you know, the winter. Back in the old days, we all stayed inside. We still do. The symbols are very similar to the Christian symbols. So basically that's Ostara in an eggshell.
Now I know that you've
sorry.
I know that you've been on the path since you were about 6 years old.
Correct.
And you are the high priestess of Richmond Out of the Broom Closet.
Correct.
I think it's important for our listeners to know that there is a pagan community in our area. If people would like to get in touch with you, Tam, how would they do that?
They would either go to the site or the meetup site, Out of the Broom Closet. That's probably the best way. My telephone number is all over that site, and my email address is all over that site. So it's just best to go to the meetup.com and look up Out of the Broom Closet.
And thanks to you, I hooked up with the people at BARC, the canine rescue in Ashland. So we want to remind everybody again about barkva.org.
I just talked to her this morning.
Yeah, you guys do so much good work. So if you'd like to find out more about paganism, if you'd like to find out ways of celebrating the spring equinox, you can get hold of Tam Talking Forest Evans, or just check out the meetup group, meetup.com, Richmond Out of the Broom Closet. Tam, thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. May I mention one more thing?
Absolutely.
There is International Pagan Coming Out Day on May the 2nd. That sounds so funny, doesn't it? But I will probably be doing something on that day if y'all want to just check out the website and we'll...
Yeah, and maybe you'll keep me informed and I'll make an announcement.
We'll hope you show up.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Thank you for the invitation. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much. We're wrapping up the show now. I just want to remind you that Senate Bill 1026 and House Bill 1541 are on the governor's desk. These would legalize cruelty to farm animals. If you'd like to let your voice be heard, the governor can take a phone call at 786-2211, or you can send him a note, Patrick Henry Building, 3rd floor, 1111 East Broad Street, right here in Richmond. We're going to have all of that information on our website. On our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. I also want to remind everybody that in the wake of everything happening in Japan, if you feel impotent and not sure what to do, the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality's Office of Environmental Impact is still accepting comments regarding the environmental concerns associated with Virginia Dominion Power's application to build a third nuclear reactor at Lake Anna. Richmond is in the impact zone, what the Nuclear Regulatory Commission calls the impact zone of these reactors. They will be accepting comments until March the 18th. You can send an email to elirons@deq.virginia.gov. That's elirons@deq.virginia.gov. We'll be sure to have that on our website as well. In the last minute that we have, I'd just like to put in my 2 cents worth, if that's okay. I want to remind everybody that the issue with nuclear power and nuclear reactors is all about boiling water. If you were like me and were raised in the 1950s, you were taught that there was some magic in the atom that was going to give us clean and safe and forever energy. But that is not the truth. These reactors simply boil water, which turns into steam, which turns the turbines, which generates electricity, just like we've been doing for 200 years before that. Only now we have all the concomitant poisons and terrorist attacks and catastrophes that come along with this. Can you imagine the scenario after such a disastrous earthquake and tsunami if Japan had been getting its energy from solar and wind? Would we be having this conversation now about, oh my goodness, we're poisoned for the rest of eternity? I believe that we can figure out a better way to boil water. Don't you? Don't you believe that we can figure out a better way to boil our water? Because these nuclear accidents are happening on the other side of the planet, do you feel here in Richmond unaffected? Well, maybe you shouldn't, because if you zoom out and see our home, the Earth, as the blue marble suspended in the blackness of space, you'll realize that we live in a self-contained environment, and what happens anywhere eventually touches everywhere. Scientists estimate that depending on the winds and other weather events, the nuclear radiation cloud that's generating now in Japan will reach California 7 days after the earthquake, which means day after tomorrow, Thursday. And then we'll touch Vermont within 10 days, which means this Sunday. And it doesn't take much to see that the radiation is going to pass over Virginia on its journey to New England. So let's all begin to think about these things and to let our voices be heard on these things. We're going to have a great show next week. One of the foremost experts on nuclear is going to be here with us, Paul Gunter from Beyond Nuclear. So I hope you'll tune in for that show. Until then, be kind to yourselves, be kind to the animals and to the earth. We wish all of you peace.